Today I would like to share with you guys out of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Now I know Daniel usually speaks, you know, to 2 or 3 hours. So I'm going to try to not keep up with him. I'm not going to promise anything. 2 Corinthians. Of course, I opened 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's start reading in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. Grace and peace be unto you, and peace, or grace be unto you, and peace from our God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort which we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual, the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Let's stop right there. Paul is writing to the Corinthians, obviously, and he with Timothy together, and I sometimes, when I'm reading the word, especially, you know, the Paul's epistles, it's like he says the same thing in the first couple verses anyway. You know, it's like grace and peace. Okay, we had that in 1 Corinthians. We're going to have that in Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. We're going to have that over and over. Grace and peace, you know. And then he says something nice like, you know, I miss you, or you know, I want to comfort you. And then finally he gets to like the meat, you know. And especially just in reading it, I can tend to just kind of skip over that part. And this time, while I was just reading this last week, it's really jumped out to me, just this introduction part. And so I just want to share the few things that God just showed me, just on a personal basis. From this introduction, I mean, grace unto you and peace, verse 2, from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I think the thing that really jumped out to me is the emphasis that, you know, God our Father, that he puts on this introduction, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not like it's grace and peace to you from God. He's like God our Father and the Lord Jesus. Because when I think of grace, I don't automatically think, oh, God the Father sitting on a throne with the rainbow above his head and the angels worshiping him all day long and the elders throwing their crowns. This God our Father, grace. I think of Christ, you know, sacrifice on the cross for my sin. And maybe the Holy Spirit empowering me with grace to overcome weaknesses in my life. But God the Father? And yet, here it really jumped out to me. God, our Father, is a gracious God. We live, like I said, in Germany, in the eastern part of Germany. And in the state church, and I'm sure it's pretty much everywhere, but even not even the state church, a lot of the evangelical churches too, they tend to say, well, the Old Testament is about God the Father, and he judges. In the New Testament, you know, Jesus come along is like, you know, hey, God's not that bad. You know, I love you. And you know, just ignore the Old Testament. And yet, at Calvary Chapel, we're so blessed to be taught the entire Word of God. And I'm telling you, when you read the entire Word of God and you study the entire Word of God, that big bad God of the Old Testament is pretty loving and pretty gracious. And I'm sure you guys have noticed that if you've been here for a while. And if not, I encourage you to come again next week and learn how gracious and loving the God of the Old Testament really is. God who wishes us peace. You know, Alex was sharing just now of how he sought to be his own God. And I don't know if you got it from his testimony, but when he was in charge of his life, he did not have a lot of peace. His mom would come to church on Sunday. And she didn't say, oh, we have such a peaceful home with Alex living there. It's so nice having him doing drugs and arguing and fighting and not knowing whether the police are going to show up at her door. You know, there is no peace at home. There's no peace in his life. There's no peace in his relationships. And yet God, our Father, wants us to have peace. And he provided the way for peace in giving up his only son. You know, we as parents, when we see our children go into the world, we're like, oh, come back. Come back to God, you know. And God's like, I'm sending my son out into the world, into the place of absolute chaos and destruction, so that you can have peace. And then he says in verse 3, and this is the verse that really got me, and this is probably where we're going to get stuck for the rest of our time together. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here, this just jumped out at me. It's like that emphasis. Yeah, when I say God, I'm not saying like God the Holy Spirit or God Jesus. I'm talking about the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. That was the first time that I actually, in reading that, was like, the God the Father is a God of all comfort. Now, if you told me he's God, a God of comfort, I'd say, well, of course, you know, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter will come, you know. And you look at Jesus and he was comforting people along the way. But the Father? And yet Paul is specifically saying, our Heavenly Father is a comforter. And he's not like, he's a part of the comfort team, you know. If you know, it's like a church service, you know, and if you need a comfort, I mean, he's kind of busy. He's in charge, but if you need a little bit of comfort, you can go to him. No, he is the God of all comfort. It's like, where does comfort come from? Well, probably from the God of all comfort. It's a pretty good source. Paul said, blessed be this God. Blessed be the God, our Father of Jesus Christ, because he is a serious comforter. All comfort comes from him. And then he shares how God comforts. He says, who comforts us in verse 4? In all our tribulation, in all our trials and the difficulties of life. And they come in so many different forms. I don't know if you've experienced that before. I grew up as a missionary kid myself. My parents were missionaries. And my parents, they trusted the Lord in an incredible way. I mean, even, you know, just looking back to this day, to my father, his entire life, you know, he just completely just trusted God. And as kids, you know, we saw some of the difficulties. I mean, I, you know, remember the day where, you know, my dad was going out to to do ministry, and as he's leaving the house, my mom says to him, that was the last of the potatoes that we had. And it wasn't like, you know, We're a small family. I have four brothers, so we're five boys, five teenage boys. Well, I wasn't quite yet, but five hungry boys who can eat a lot more than two little girls. And, sorry, that was an insider. and you know, and my dad walks out to do the ministry. I mean, that's difficult. You leave everything behind, and you go to serve the Lord, and you think, oh, God's going to have to bless us. We're serving him. And then you're sitting there, and you're going, what are we going to eat? And then how are we going to tell our kids, it's a great thing to serve Jesus when there's no food? Difficulties and trials. And yet, I don't want to stop the story right there, even though it's not the point, but you know, as he's leaving the ministry that evening, he's on his way home, some lady walks by and says, I don't know why, but God said to give you these two bags of groceries. And she walked away. They saw in difficult times how God came through and took care of them and comforted them and watched out for them. And so I grew up and I saw these. I mean, that's just one of many stories I could tell you how God, you know, provided. And so as my wife and I, when we were called to the mission field, like, oh, this is easy. You know, I know that God can provide. And you know, my wife is looking at me, it's like, you're crazy, you know. how are we going to get our money? How are we going to, God will take care of it, you know, just trust me. And we left. And for some reason in my mind, I thought the only difficulty you have as a missionary is money. Everything else is easy. And since I have so much faith that God can provide the money, everything's going to be great. And God's like, no, the difficulty of being a human being is that there's difficulties, and I'm going to find something for you. And I remember walking to the visa office, and I spoke German, but the guy saw my American passport, and he didn't know I spoke German, and he looked at it, and he's like, you know, what are you doing in English? And I said, well, we're here as missionaries. And the guy looks at his secretary, and he's in German, he mumbles like, well, I'm not going to do anything for those guys. And I hear that, and I understand it. And the secretary knows that I understand it. She's like going, you know? And God was like, here's something where I need you to trust me. Here's a trial. Here's a difficult situation where you're going to have to come to me for comfort and for assurance. And so, he says, he comforts us in our tribulations, whether it's financial problems, whether it's visa problems, whether it's health issues. Sometimes difficulties come and you're like, oh, I don't even really know why I'm having a hard time right now, but I am. Some people have serious, serious troubles, and some people, it just really depends, you know. You can look at some people like, those aren't difficulties, but for them it's real. And because it's real, we have a God who comforts us in our tribulation. And why? In verse 4, as we read, it says, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. You know why God comes along and comforts us in our difficult situations? It's so that when other people go through difficult situations, we can comfort them with the comfort that we receive from God. Did you know that there are millions of people, even in Denmark? But not even millions of people. Let's just break it down. There's hundreds of people that we see each day that have no one to comfort them. I mean, they go to their psychologist, or they go to their friends and their family, or their Facebook pages, and they get a few thumbs up. But that's like Alex was saying, it's just empty. they go to their drugs and their alcohol or whatever their thing is, you know, and try to build themselves up. But we have such a huge advantage. We have God. God. Who is the God of all comfort. Take that. And I don't know if you guys know what that's like, but there's sometimes, maybe it's like a pastor's thing, but sometimes somebody's just like going, this is not fair. You know, everybody phones me up and says, oh, I'm going through a hard time, man. Can you pray for me? And it's like, who do I get to call? Well, I got my answer. The God of all comfort. And I was just really encouraged. And I really want to encourage you guys. It's like, even if you're like, I don't have anybody I could talk to about this. You do. The God of all comfort is there to comfort you. And the reason is not only to comfort you, but is it so that when you run into people who don't have anybody to comfort them, you get to comfort them with the comfort that you received. What an amazing thing that the Lord is doing in that moment. It's not like he's saying, you know, oh, that's good, you know, come on, and we'll see you tomorrow again when you need therapy. But he's like saying, no, I'm going to come along and I'm going to comfort you in such a way that when you see people, just you being there, just you, I mean, you, just the fact that you've been comforted will be a comfort to them. I'm going to use you in the lives of other people who are going through difficulty and are in trouble. Because there's people out there, that might be the only glimpse they get of the God of comfort, is our comfort as we reach out to them. When do we need comfort? When do I need comfort? I mean, do you sit around going like, oh, I need comfort. I'm having a great day today. It's just like the most amazing day. I think I need a comforter, you know? Like, usually, no. We usually need comfort in the difficult times of our lives. You know, think of Psalm 23. Have you heard that psalm before? The word comfort comes up in Psalm 23. And it doesn't say, you lead me by still waters, and I am not needing a comforter, but you comfort me anyway. No, it comes in verse 4. He says, and though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, I've personally never, you know, had to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, whatever that means. But David did. I mean, like, he spent most of his life getting chased by somebody who wants to kill him. And yet, in these difficult times where he's like, I am dying, or I'm going to die, he didn't have to fear, because the big bad God of the Old Testament was going to judge him. No. The God of all comfort, even in the Old Testament, David understood, you come along and you comfort me. And that wasn't the only time that David wrote about comfort. In Psalm 94, verse 19. It says, in the multitude of my thoughts. Or you could say in the distress, in the times where there's just tons of thoughts going on, and confusion, and he says, He says, within me, thy comfort delight my soul. In the time of questions and thoughts, and it's like, you know, and I mean, when we know the path we're to take, you know, we take it, but when there's just confusion and thoughts, and then what direction, where am I going to go? He says, you come and your comfort delights me. When there's times in our lives where there's no direction, there's confusion, there's questions, God, what's going on? David's like, oh, your comfort delights me. It's like, I know you're there. You're going to comfort me. You're going to take care of me. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon, David's son, gives us a look at what it's like not to have that comfort. In Ecclesiastes 4, verse 1. Is it verse 1? Yeah. It says, so I turned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors, there was power, but they had no comforter. He says, you know, he's considering the world and what they're going through. And I mean, it's not like their life is easy because they don't have Jesus. They have the same struggles and the difficulties as everybody else. And he says, it's not fair. He says, look at the oppressions that are done under the sun. I mean, I guess as a king, he would have seen or heard a lot about things that were not fair. But I mean, even like today, we have media like never before, and it's so easy to just Google and find how people all over the world are being oppressed and taken advantage of, from little children to the elderly. And they have no comforter. They have no comforter. He says, and then you look at the oppressors and their power, and they have no comfort. I mean, even the bad guys have no comforter. But we do. In Genesis. Sorry, I'm jumping around here, but I know these are things that God's put in my heart, so you're going to have to deal with the fact that that's what I'm going to do. Genesis chapter 50. In Genesis 50, Jacob has passed away, and they've buried him. They've taken him back to the land of Canaan. They've buried him next to his father and grandfather and his mother. And Joseph and his 11 brothers come back to Egypt. And the brothers kind of panic, because I don't know if you know the story, but they weren't really nice to Joseph. They sold him as a slave, and then he just kind of disappeared. And to them, he was dead, you know? And Jacob even said, I'll never be comforted. You know, it's like he's gone. My most important son is gone, which isn't a good attitude to have before your kids, but you know, he's gone. And Joseph was gone from their lives, but at the same time, you know, he's sold as a slave. He tries his, I mean, he works hard, and he works his way up the slave ladder until the point where, you know, Potiphar's wife takes advantage of him. And he ends up in jail. And then in jail, he works up the jail ladder. So now he's a slave in jail, which, you know, it's not like one of the best jobs to have if you've ever looking for a career. That's not well paid, and there's nobody really cares about you. But yet he works his best, he does his best in jail, and you know, he gets better positions as a prisoner, which isn't much, but he gets out, and through God, in a miraculous way, becomes the second most important person in the country of Egypt. And Egypt was pretty much the world at that time, especially during the famine when they had food. And so his brothers, not knowing, they come and they, oh, Joseph, you know, they don't want to say Joseph. They say, the second most important person in the world, we need some food, and he gives them food. Anyway, he reveals himself. He moves the family there. The father dies, and all of a sudden they're going like, wait a sec. He was just nice to us probably because dad was alive. But now that dad's dead, he's going to kill us. So they have this really good idea. So like, well, we're going to send somebody in front. We'll read it. Start in verse 15. So when they saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph hates us? And he will certainly repay us for all the evil that we did to him. And so they sent a messenger to Joseph saying, your father commanded us before he died, saying, you know, there's a line through their teeth. Joseph did not command anything, but they say, well, we got to say something about dad. So you shall say to Joseph, forgive, I pray thee, the sins of your brothers, for they did evil unto you, and now I pray that you forgive them. The sins of the servants of God and of their fathers. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. I think Joseph understood that they were lying. And you know, they're like, oh, dad said you need to forgive us because, you know, God wants you to forgive. And he's just like, it just breaks his heart that they would think that he hadn't forgiven them. And so his brothers came and they fell down before him. And they said, we are your servants. And Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? It's like, what are you guys afraid about? I'm not God. I'm not going to decide when you die. But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And then listen to what it says. And he comforted them and spoke kindly unto them. Now, I don't know about you. If you look at the big picture, you're like, maybe they should be comforting the guy they sold into slavery, who ended up being a slave in a jail while they're sitting out there having families and having a great life. You know, I mean, these guys all had grown kids. And Joseph was able to just start a family with a few small kids because he'd been in jail for the whole time. Maybe they should be saying, oh man, hey, we're really sorry. You know, can we comfort you? Can we encourage you? Can we build you up? And they're sitting there like, oh, we're afraid you're going to kill us. Well, you deserve it if it happens. But, you know, it's like, oh, you know. And Joseph's like, oh, come on here, you know. And he's comforting them. Joseph understood 2 Corinthians way before it was even written. Because it's not a new concept in 2 Corinthians. He was a man who understood in the difficult times, I go to the Father of all comfort. And he is my comfort. I mean, you know, when Joseph did not have a psychologist as a slave, you know, he couldn't call anybody up and say, hey man, I'm going through a difficult time. Can you come and talk? Nobody in his culture, nobody in his country even knew who God was. You should talk to them about God. They'd look at the moon or the cows or, you know, but not the Creator. He was the only one. And yet you see in all the difficulties of Joseph's life, without going back and teaching on all 6-7 chapters tonight, today, we'll be tonight by the time I got done, you know, his relationship with the Lord remains strong in all these times. And he would talk to the Lord, and God would talk to him. And he was able to comfort his brothers. When shortly before Jesus, and I'll be finished with this, promise. Shortly before Jesus was crucified, you know, one of his last talks with his disciples, he spent basically talking about the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting because on many different occasions in John chapter 14 through 16, he refers to the Holy Spirit as a comforter. And it's something that, you know, if you'd ask me in a quiz, you know, I'd say, oh yeah, you know, that's one of the titles, comforter. But just in the whole picture of God's purpose in comforting us. And it just came to life in chapter 14 of John, verse 16. I'll just read, you know, a few things. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. You know, Christ was there. He was comforting people. He's like, I'm leaving, but you know what? I'm going to ask my dad, and he'll give you another comforter. Incredibly, the next 2,000 years during the church period, yeah, there's not going to be a comforter down there. And it's like, no, I'm going to go up there, I'm going to ask, and he's going to give you a comforter. You will have a comforter. And he's not going to be there for the weekend, he says, and he will abide with you forever. So if you're sitting there going like, well, I don't know, I think the comforter left a few months ago, then you probably talk to somebody about what forever means. Because a few minutes ago was just the beginning of forever. The comforter is here. The Spirit of the Father, the Holy Spirit, he's here. And he's our comforter. In verse 26, I mean, he's just making this point over and over again. He says, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, and he'll bring to remembrance whatever I have said unto you. The things that we need, the scriptures we need, the words of Christ that we need in our difficult times and our trials and tribulations. The Spirit of God is going to be using the Word of God to speak to us, to comfort us. In chapter 15, verse 26, he repeats it again. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Again, the Comforter, man, we're going to send him. He's coming. And he's going to comfort you. He's going to comfort you with the truth. It's not like, you know, you're going to be reading the Bible and like, oh, these are a bunch of fables, that's why I'm not comforted. No, he's going to speak the truth into your lives. Again, in chapter 16, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you a lie. No, the truth. He's not telling you a lie, he's telling the truth. It is important that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him to you. I mean, to Jesus, it's like so important that it's like, I've got to leave. It's important that I leave, because if I don't leave, you're not going to have the Comforter. Jesus comforted his entire life. Every person that came to him, I mean, they would stand, I imagine, for hours waiting just to have Jesus touch them. What a powerful, you know, presence of God in their midst as he would just touch them and heal them of all diseases and all pains and aches and even psychotic diseases that were going on. I mean, he just, and I think some of the greatest ministry that he did was when he would touch someone. You know, they were like, wow, we got the bonus of being healed, but just that comfort of Jesus just reaching out and touching us. He's going to send another comforter. And this comforter is amazing because he's not just going to be in Jerusalem. You don't have to plan your vacation. So, okay, when can we fly to Jerusalem? So, you know, Jesus can be there for us because I need to talk to somebody. But here, right now, the Holy Spirit is desiring to reach out and comfort you in your difficulties. Even better than that, tomorrow, when you're all alone and there's no church, the Holy Spirit, you know, he's like, oh, sorry, on Monday, it's my day off. No, he's there to comfort you. And you know what's really crazy? Is in Germany, he's there at the same time. And in Africa and all over the world, he's everywhere. Thank you, Jesus, that you understood that I've got to go so that I can send you the comforter. Man, he's going to be everywhere, comforting everybody. Are we willing to go to him for comfort in our difficult times? He wants to comfort us. He is able to comfort us. I mean, he even calls himself the God of all comfort. In our difficult times, is he our comfort? If we go to him for comfort, the God of all comfort will comfort us. And he'll comfort us in such a way that the people that we meet that have no comforter will be comforted through the comfort that we were comforted with. A lot of times, we want to just, I don't know, just, it's more difficult to go to the Lord than it is to go to our friends and go to our own comfort ways of doing and getting comfort. But we leave empty. Or maybe there's a short-term excitement, but then our comforters turn their backs on us, or they tell everybody else all our problems, and then we get mad at them. Jesus doesn't tell other people on you. He's not going to gossip. The God of all comfort, he's always there for us. And so my comfort to you, my encouragement to you is in the difficult times. And, you know, it's an easy subject to speak on because there's not a single person who goes through this life who doesn't go through a difficult time. And in the difficult and the tribulations and the trials of life, I promise you, because I know, because it's, he says it, he promises himself, that if you take your trials and your tribulations, you have a comforter who will comfort you. And Lord, we thank you so much that you, and you're here, and that your Spirit is here. The Spirit that was with Joseph in his difficulties, and Paul, and the disciples, and David's life as he went through the shadow of death, got the same God of comfort that you are with us today. And Lord, I know that we all have difficult times in our lives, struggles, moments where we don't have the strength to continue. Times where we just need someone there for us. And I thank you that you are there for us. And so I pray that you would give us the courage, the strength, and the faith to go to you in these times for comfort. And I thank you that you are there. In your name. Amen.